Gaines Dog Food presents Juvenile Jury. Yes, it's Juvenile Jury, brought to you by GAINAS, Gaines Complete Meal, a meal that nourishes every inch of your dog. We invite you to spend 30 minutes with the children of America as they attempt to solve the problems which you, the listeners, send in. Of course, if your problem concerns the feeding of your dog, our jurors will give you just one answer. They'll tell you to feed Gaines Complete Meal. Gaines is more economical to feed than any other type of dog food. Gaines is a meal dogs love. Gaines is America's largest selling dog food. Now, to introduce the jurors, here's the originator of Juvenile Jury and our program moderator, Jack Barry.
Thank you, John Scott, and hello again, everyone. Waiting to prove that children should be heard as well as seen are five average alert youngsters. Their ages ranging from 5 to 10. Reading from left to right, me.
Peggy Booter, age 10.
Tookie Rowland, age 7.
Robin Morgan, age 5.
Kong Lo, age 9 and a half.
Elizabeth Watson, age 5.
Thank you, children. Now let's dip into the mailbag for our very first question. As you know, for each question put before the jury, the sender receives a monitor radio phonograph that changes 10 and 12-inch records in 5 seconds, plus a complete new album of comedy records by George Burns and Gracie Allen, one of the top 10 albums. Here is that first letter from a Miss S.F. of Paterson, New Jersey, and she'll receive a radio phonograph. Now, a 10-year-old Miss F. writes as follows. She says, I am a growing girl, and my mother always makes my clothes 2 sizes too large for me, because she says that otherwise I'll grow out of them too quickly. I feel silly wearing clothes that are too big for me and that hang on me. What should I do? Well, kids, this is probably common in many homes. Kong Lu.
Well, why don't you tell your mother that your feet are growing and you don't buy shoes too big for yourself?
I should say not. At least I've never heard of it. Peggy Bruder.
Well, why don't you go outside when it's very, very, very hardly raining and just let your clothes shrink?
Just let your clothes shrink?
Yes.
Peggy, confidentially... That answer, confidentially, that shrinks. Dickie Orland.
Well, she should explain to her mother that when she wears those big and long clothes on her, she feels very self-unconscious.
How do you feel this afternoon, Dickie?
Well, I feel all right, but... I never like to wear clothes that don't fit me.
No, of course, you probably feel self-unconscious, too. Well, I can understand that. Elizabeth Watson.
Well, why don't you, when your mother's not up, why don't you get dressed and not, and your mother doesn't know what you're wearing?
When do you get dressed, Elizabeth?
In the morning, but my mother doesn't want me to get dressed in the morning.
Your mother wants you to get dressed in the afternoon?
Yes.
What do you do all morning?
I have to hobble around and then get dressed.
You hobble around?
Yes.
I see.
What happened this morning?
What did you do this morning?
I had to hobble around until the afternoon came.
You hobbled around?
Yes.
Why do you hobble around, Elizabeth?
Because I have nothing to do but get dressed.
Oh, what?
All I have to do is hobble around.
Well, I tell you, Elizabeth, sometime you come out and visit me, we'll hobble around together. Peggy Bruder.
Well, maybe your mother wants you to have that new look.
Yes, I see. That may be the reason. Finally, Dickie Orland.
Well, she should tell her mother... that when she wears a dress that's so long, she looks as if she's standing in a hole.
All right, Vicky. Well, let's give Robin Morgan one more chance to answer. Yes, Robin.
Well, why doesn't... Maybe the little girl doesn't know what her mother is trying to do for her. Her mother is trying to make her be up-to-date fashions, which is to have all your clothes droop and hang.
I think you'd find, Robin, that some fashion experts would disagree with you, but I think that the young lady should explain her embarrassment to her mother, and perhaps they can reach a compromise and have some of the clothes a little large and some of them fit exactly right. Well, kids, the wind was sure blowing here in New York yesterday, and it perhaps gives us a sample of what's going to happen when we get out to Chicago next week. As we've been announcing these past few weeks, all of us in the juvenile jury are going out to Chicago to broadcast there next Sunday from the 8th Street Theater. And I think I might like to announce, too, that on Friday morning of this coming week, Robin Morgan and I will be guests of Don McNeil on his Breakfast Club, on another network, that is. And on Sunday, our next show, next Sunday afternoon, you will all be interested in knowing that Don McNeil's youngest son, Bobby, will present his own private problem to the juvenile jury. We think it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope that all of you will be listening. Now, our next problem, kids, comes from a Miss S.E. in Providence, Rhode Island. She'll get a monitor radio phonograph and a top 10 record album for having her problem put before the jury. Miss E. writes as follows. She says, as soon as my cousin Alvin comes to visit us, he picks up anything and throws it at us. One day he missed me, but the ashtray broke our new mirror. When we spoke to his mother, she said that he was trying to get rid of some energy. What can we do? Elizabeth, what do you think?
Why then he put the mirror someplace else, and then he won't be able to... Why don't he put the ashtray and stuff away so he can't throw the ashtray?
Clear out the whole house every time Alvin comes. Yes, I understand, Elizabeth. Thank you. Kong Lu.
Well, when your aunt says he wants to get rid of some energy, tell her that you want to get rid of some cousin.
Okay. Peggy Bruder.
Well, why don't you just leave some boomerangs around?
And boomerang right back at him. I see. All right, Peggy. Dickie Orland?
Well, George Washington liked to throw also. He threw a half a dollar across the river and became president. So she should take her little cousin to the river and let him throw his money across. And she can stand on the other side and collect it.
Do you think there's any chance that Alvin will become president, Dickie?
Well, maybe.
Uh-huh. I hope so. Robin Morgan.
Well, you get a lot of energy from irons and mashed potatoes.
Irons and what?
Mashed potatoes.
Irons and mashed potatoes?
Yes, sir.
Must be rather difficult eating them that way, don't you think?
So why don't they take away all his irons and mashed potatoes, and then he'll be like the rest of us.
You sound almost like a golfer, mashed potatoes, and he can putter around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Kong Lu.
Well, why don't you let him pick up a thing, but before he picks it up, put glue on it and then distract him for a moment and let the glue dry, and when he tries to throw it, he won't be able to.
You should distract him a little bit?
Yeah.
Then after this problem, the way he's going to do it, I think we'll have to subtract him a little bit, too. Dickie Orland.
Well, maybe he can't see straight, so they should get him some glasses, and then when he picks up something to throw, at least he won't be breaking any mirrors.
All right, finally, Peggy Bruce.
Well, why don't you take advantage of him and hire him as a pitcher for the Dodgers?
And I think they can use him. Well, I think you ought to explain to the aunt that the boy is destructive and that unless his actions are controlled, that he won't be able to come over to the house anymore as a guest. Now here is our popular feature, Gaines' Dog Guest of the Week. Each week, we bring a real dog on stage to see if the juvenile jury can identify it. And here it comes now.
This is John Scott speaking off stage. The jurors can't hear me, but Gaines' dog guests are two Lhasa Apso's. Now back to Jack Barry.
Well, now, jurors, look at this. Two dog guests today, and they're not exactly giants. In fact, they stand about 9 inches at the shoulder and weigh about 12 pounds. With bushy tails curling over their backs and big round eyes peeping out from their fur-covered faces, they have long, shaggy coats that nearly touch the ground. One dog is a golden color with black ear tips, while the other is black with white markings on his toes, chest, and face. Kids, this is perhaps the most difficult of all the dogs we've had so far to identify. Can anyone tell me what kind of dogs these are?
I think the black one's a Scottie.
You think the black one's a Scottie, and what about the other one?
I think the other one's a Scottie, too.
Oh, I see. Then can we sum that up and say you think that both are Scotties?
Yes.
Thank you. Kong, any idea what they are?
I think they're Lhasa Terriers.
They're what?
Lhasa Terriers.
We'll get back to you in a minute, Kong. Do you have any idea what they are, Robin?
I think they're Irish Scots.
That's a rather different combination, isn't it? Irish Scots. Uh-huh. All right. Vicki, do you know what they are?
I'm going to say what Peggy says.
Oh, wait a while, Vicki. Peggy hasn't said anything yet. You're going to wait to hear what she says?
Yep.
And then you'll say ditto. All right, let's hear what Peggy has to say. What do you think they are, Peggy?
A Lassa Terrier.
Well, that is very, very close. As a matter of fact, let me get back to Con. Con, why did you think they were Lassa Terriers?
Because I read them in a book.
You read about it in the book. Well, we fooled you a little bit. Gaines' dog guests for today are Lassa Apsos, and their names are Moshe and Shen Lo. Incidentally, do any of you know what country these breed comes from? Yes, Vicki.
Mr. Barry, did you say Moshe?
No, I said it's either pronounced Moshe or Mocha, M-O-C-H-A, and I think he has two names. It wasn't what you said, Vicki. Peggy, do you know what country they come from?
I think they come from Tibet.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence, that is. Tom, have you any idea where they come from?
I agree with Peggy.
Yes, Vicki.
Come from whatever Peggy said.
We're really in agreement. Well, as a matter of fact, these dogs originally did come from Tibet, and their names were... No, wait a minute. Maybe you can tell me how they got their name. Peggy, do you know that, too? How did they get their name?
Lassa.
Excuse me, Elizabeth, how?
By a ship.
They got their names by a ship? Would you care to go into that a little further? What do you mean by a ship?
Well, maybe they were on a ship one day. The ship was named that, and they got the name.
I see. That's a good explanation, but it's not correct. Peggy?
Well, they came from Tibet. Well, either they came from a city named Lhasa, or the original owner was a man named Tibet.
Well, Peggy, you sure astound me with some of your answers. According to the American Kennel Club, these terriers did get their name from Lhasa, which is the capital of Tibet, and from the word apsos, meaning hairy or goat-like. Interestingly enough, Lhasa Apsos weren't known in this country until this century. However, some were sent as highly valued gifts to the rulers of China. And Mocha and Shen Lo are descended from dogs that escaped from Hong Kong just ahead of the Japs. But do any of you know the kind of work these little fellas do? Kong?
Mr. Barry?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those dogs in China.
How long has it been since you were in China, Kong?
3 years.
And what city were you in?
I was born in Hong Kong.
And you didn't see those dogs?
No, I was only small, you know.
Oh, I see. Well, for goodness sakes, I want you fellas to all get acquainted here before the program is finished. Peggy?
I think they're a watchdog.
That's very, very good. What do you think, Vicki?
I think they're a watchdog.
Robin?
I think they're a watchdog.
Oh, boy, sure. Well, kids, matter of fact, Lhasa Apsos were used as indoor watchdogs in the homes of important people of Tibet. They were, and still are, as a matter of fact, excellent at that type of work. They're quick to spot strangers and quick to give warning.
And quick to...
To what, Scotty?
To recognize a good dog food, Jack.
Like
Gaines, Jack. Mm-hmm. Gosh, you ought to see dogs go for it. Their wagging tails and sparkling eyes tell you right off they like it. And besides tasting good, Gaines' complete meal is good for dogs, too. It contains everything they're known to need. Proteins, fats, carbohydrates, plus all the essential vitamins and minerals and more than required amounts. Yes, sirree, Gaines nourishes every inch of a dog. It's that good. Yes, and Gaines is good for dog owners, too. Good for their pocketbooks. It's more economical to feed than any other type of dog food. Just take canned dog food. Since they're cooked in the can, the manufacturers must add water for proper cooking. This brings the moisture up to as much as 70%, often higher. But Gaines is different. Gaines is dry food, over 90% concentrated food. You add the liquid yourself at no extra cost. You don't pay for moisture. You buy nourishment when you buy Gaines. So like thousands of dog owners, listen to your dog speak. Speak for Gaines. It's America's largest selling dog food.
Thanks, Scotty, and thanks to our Gaines dog guests of the week. Take a bow, Moshe and Shen Lo. Now, as a regular feature of Juvenile Jury, we invite our younger listeners to present their problems in person. This week, we have the youngest in person ever to present a problem to the Juvenile Jury. She is 3.5 years old, and her name is Bonnie Ann Chalzel of Jamaica, Long Island. Bonnie, welcome as the youngest member ever to be here at our jury. Now, Bonnie, will you tell the members of the juvenile jury what your problem is?
My mommy puts me in the carriage, and I don't want to. I'd rather walk. We're leaving it up to the jury.
All right, Bonnie Ann, I'm sure that's a very serious problem for you. Some questions, Peggy.
Why do you want to walk?
Because I think I'm too big, and my mommy wants me to walk.
Why does your mother want you to walk?
No, her mother wants you to be in the carriage, I believe. Isn't that right, Bonnie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why does your mother want you to be in the carriage? Because she thinks I'm a baby, and I say I'm not. But she still does it.
Uh-huh. Well, when does she make you walk? I mean, stay in the carriage.
Well, when we go shopping.
All right. Robin?
How long does your mother shop?
Well, about 2 hours.
And you have to stay in the carriage all that time?
No, I go in the store.
I see. Elizabeth?
Well, your mother wants you to get in the carriage because she doesn't want you to get lost.
Now, Dickie Orland?
Do many other children ride in carriages?
Well, I think I ought to walk because I'm too big.
But do any other children ride in carriages?
Yes, but only one.
Well, maybe your mother wants you to stay in the carriage so you'll save your shoe leather.
Well, I think I'm too big.
I see. Kong Lu.
What kind of carriage is it? A stroller or a sleeping carriage?
Well, stroller, but the head goes down and I go to sleep.
Well, kids, let's take a quick run down here and see whether or not she should stay in the carriage or not. Peggy, do you think she should stay in the carriage?
Well, yes, because I think she'll walk enough when she grows up.
All right. Dickie?
Well, let me...
You say what Peggy says, I know. We'll have to think about it and go to Robin Morgan.
Well, I don't think that you should mind it, because my mother told me that before automobiles were discovered, even grown-ups used to ride around in carriages. So there's nothing wrong.
All right, Robin. Tom Lou?
I think you should ride in the carriage because you might get lost and fight with somebody.
All right. And finally, Elizabeth, do you think she should ride in the carriage?
Yes.
Why do you think so?
Because have you ever been in a rain of stitches?
Well, just lucky for the program, I have, Elizabeth, yes. Why?
Well, because even you ever been in a rolling chair? But even grown-ups can ride in a rolling chair.
Who was on the stand here, me or Bobby Adams? Yes, I've been in one of those rolling chairs.
Well, even grown-ups can ride, and I don't see why she doesn't want to ride in a carriage.
That's very good, Elizabeth. Well, I'm afraid, Bobby Ann, that the members of the juvenile jury think you should ride in the carriage, at least till you get a little bit older. Thank you very much for being with us, Bobby Ann Chazelle. Now, kids, let's go back to some more problems. This next problem comes to us from Brooklyn, sent to us by Master A.F., to whom we're sending a smart radio phonograph plus a top 10 album. 11-year-old Master F. writes as follows. He says, "Every afternoon, after classes, my younger sister runs directly home. You see, we each go to different schools, but our house is closer to her school than it is to mine. So she gets home before I do and eats up all of the cookies in the jar, leaving none for me. What should I do?" Kong Lu.
Well, why don't you let her eat all the cookies and then she'll grow fat and then I think you'll get there before her because she'll get fat.
The inference being that she won't be able to run as fast after she puts on added weight. All right. Elizabeth Watson.
Well, I let her eat the cookies because if she eats them, she'll get fat. And, you know, she can't run. You can't run fast when you're fat because you're so fat.
I see. Dickie says what Peggy says, and you say what Kong says. Mm-hmm. Dickie Orland.
Well, he should tell her to at least leave the last one for him, because if she eats the last cookie, she'll be a bachelor.
Let me puzzle that one out a little bit. I don't think the word is bachelor, but that's a very, very good parallel you draw there, Dickie. Peggy Bruder?
Well, why doesn't he just go up to the principal and ask if he could be dismissed earlier than the rest of the children so that he can eat cookies? And I'm sure she'll oblige.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Tom?
Well, why don't you leave the cookie jar in your friend's house?
Then your friend will eat the cookies.
No.
Robin?
Well, why doesn't the little boy tell his sister that cookies aren't the most important thing in life?
No? What is?
Well, let me think a second. Ice cream.
Well, I don't think that is either. Dickie or Ellen?
Well, I think that the whole problem will be solved if you get three cookie jars.
Three cookie jars? Who are the three cookie jars for?
Well, one for the brother, and one for the sister, and one for me.
Well, I don't have any idea, Dickie. I have no idea how you're going to get over to eat these cookies, though.
Where did you say this problem came from?
Problem comes from Brooklyn.
So do I.
All right, Dickie, you win. I think if they do just as you say, they'll have two cookie jars, one for the sister, one for the brother, it will solve the entire problem. Now, our jurors will be back in just a moment with more questions and answers. First, here's John Scott and Gaines Talking Dog.
Here, Gainesy. Here, boy. Come here. Come on. Come on.
Hi there, fella. Hi there.
What you got there?
A newspaper? Don't tell me you can read. No, you can't. You can talk, all right, but you can't read. Come on, let me see that paper. Come on. Come on. Oh, you think you can read? All right, read that headline. Food's expensive. That's right. So you can read. Well, go ahead. What kind of food? All food. No, Gainesy. That's what it says, but that's where this paper's wrong. Just take Gaines' complete meal now. Gaines is more economical to feed than any other type of dog food. Why, do you know that 1 5-pound package of Gaines provides nourishment equal to 15 1-pound cans of canned dog food? 15? Yes, boy. And that 5-pound package of Gaines costs less than half as much. Really? Yes, not only that. Gaines contains everything dogs are known to need. Many things meat alone cannot provide. Yes, fella, Gaines nourishes every inch of a dog. That's right. So, bark fast for the message, fella. So always tell him to buy nourishment, buy Gaines. Right, fella. Smart dogs always speak. Speak for Gaines. America's largest selling dog.
Thank you, John Scott and Gainesy. Our second in-person guest this week is a young fellow, too. He has just turned 4 years old, and he is Richard Harvey Jano of the Bronx, New York. Now, Richard, will you please tell your problem to the jury?
I would like to have a dolly. My mommy wouldn't let me.
And you're leaving that up to the jury, huh? All right. Peggy, some questions?
Well, why do you want to have a dog?
I have no one to play with.
Beg your pardon?
I said I have no one to play with.
Oh.
You have no one to play with?
Yes.
Oh, Dickie? Well,
have you really tried talking to your mother about the dog?
Yes.
Well, tell your mother that you'll take care of the dog, and she'll really get to love the dog, because after a while, you'll see, it'll be like your own flesh and blood.
Yes.
Let's get some more questions here. Robin?
Have you ever had a dog?
Never.
Well, do you know that a dog needs kindness and love and care?
Yes.
And do you have enough time to give that?
I have no time yet.
Kong Lu?
Are you a good dog trainer?
Yes.
Elizabeth Watson?
Well, me and my sister Barbara, we want a dog very dearly, but we don't care because we can't have one.
Yeah, but he does care, Elizabeth. He wants to have one. Peggy?
Well, why doesn't your mother want you to have one?
She thinks if I'm good enough, I'll get one.
How old are you?
4.
You don't go to school, do you, Richard?
No.
Did you ever go to school?
Yes, but I didn't like the lunches.
Well, maybe the lunches weren't too good, but I'll bet the education was fine. Any more questions, kids? Robin.
Well, will you settle for a little puppy?
No.
What breed of a dog do you want? What kind do you want?
A Cocker Spaniel.
Well, that's a nice dog.
Do you live in an apartment or a house?
An apartment.
Well, why doesn't your mother let you have a dog?
Because it goes around chewing up all the furniture and if I make a mess.
All right, kids, now, let's take a quick run down here. Peggy, do you think you should be allowed to have a dog or not?
Well, Thanksgiving is coming up, so I think you should be thankful for the things that you have already.
Thank you. Vicki, you all in?
Yes.
Well, you should ask Mother to ask the telephone company if they can give her a phone booth, and you can also keep the dog in there.
Okay. Robin Morgan?
Well, why don't you... Yes, you should have a dog, but why don't you please ask, to please tell your mother that there won't be any mess, because you'll always feed your dog games, and then you'll always be a lady.
Well, thank you, Robin. Con Lou.
Well, I think you should have a dog because, as I asked you, you were a good dog trainer, so you might teach him to watch out for burglars.
Sure. Well, I think, Richard, that if you take good care of your dog and really treat him well, that you can have a dog. Thank you very much for being with us, Richard Harvey Janow. Now, here's John Scott to tell you how you may win a radio phonograph.
If you have a question, send it to Juvenile Jury, Box 148, New York 8, New York. If your question is used on the air, you'll receive a $100 monitor combination radio phonograph with an automatic record changer that plays both 10 and 12-inch records, plus a complete album of four brand-new comedy records by George Burns and Gracie Allen, one of the top 10 albums. The decision of the judges is final, and all questions become our property.
Thank you, John. Our time is up, so until next week, good luck from...
Peggy Booter.
Vicki Allen.
Robin Morgan.
Kong Lu.
And from me, Jack Barry, with this closing thought. Out of the mouths of babes, oft times come gems. Goodbye.
The first time I heard, save food, save the peace, it didn't seem to make much sense. Then a friend explained it this way. He said that with crop failures in Europe and a steadily increasing population, there's less food than ever to feed into more mouths than ever. How does that affect us? Well, empty stomachs breed discontent, and discontent can breed world wars. So for the sake of humanitarianism and our own peace and security, we must feed Europe this winter. How? By cutting down on our own individual intake, which incidentally now is far above the pre-war rate. If we demand less meat and poultry, the grains ordinarily used to feed them can be sent to Europe. That's why we must all cooperate with our government's program. Why we must save food to save the peace and ourselves. Juvenile Jury is presented each week at the same time by Gaines Complete Meal, a meal that nourishes every inch of your dog. This is John Scott speaking. This program came from New York.